She's a Killer, written by Kirsten MacDougall and read by Eva Seymour. The first thing Simp said to me when she came back was, "Just look what you've done." I was getting ready for work, splashing my face, armpits and crotch with 3 inches of water in a grimy basin. There was nothing I could do about my single-person water allowance. It was all that came out of the taps in the morning. I could have cleaned the basin, but she knew me better. Even though I hadn't seen her since we were 7 years old, when we burned our childhood home to the ground, it felt as though she'd never left. Simp was executive of my heart. She was like my hand was a part of my body, like my legs could move without me even thinking about them. Simp just was. And now she was back, a ghost limb reasserting itself. I walked out of the bathroom and she followed. I did not ask her why she was here, and she offered no comment on the mould spots above the abandoned shower or on the carpet that bubbled in waves on the landing outside the kitchen, creating a trip hazard for unwanted guests. Instead, she pretended to look at the books on my shelf and review them, like she was the one who'd read them.
"Ends badly, this one," she said.
I didn't ask which one she meant. I'm a fan of unhappy endings. They're more honest. At the dining table, I decanted some of Amy's sauerkraut into a smaller container. This was my daily lunch. I stared at the gap in my rotting kitchen counter where my sprout grew. The sprout, an unidentified plant, had terrified my ex, Nick, who had a tendency to see signs and symbols where I saw ordinary life. It was one of the reasons we didn't stay together. Still, even I could see that at some point I would have to allow Alan to fix the counter. Most likely I would ignore it for months and then I would die because we were in an apocalypse. It wasn't like I ever cooked anyway, so I probably didn't need a counter. I went to my bedroom to put on makeup. I covered my face in foundation and drew a line around the outside of my eyes, making them appear larger, more cartoonish than they truly were. This was the world now. A living cartoon. I paid proper attention with the mascara and Simp said nothing. We both acted like this was completely normal because in our own peculiar way, it was. And when I left the house, she came with me. I couldn't see her, but I could feel her beside me, perceptible but faint, as if she wanted to make me doubt she was there. I waited at the bus stop, and when the bus came, she got on too. It was a good day because my favourite seat, first up the back, was free. I liked the raised perspective it gave me. I could look down on the other passengers. Even better, my sauerkraut created a small ring of stink around my seat. I had purposely left the lid loose so that no one would sit beside me. A prematurely middle-aged guy wearing a badly tailored jacket and a backpack covered in political statements got on and sat down in front of us. He had long, thin hair, which he pulled back in a ponytail. It was the kind of hair that would look stringy no matter how clean it was. With hair like that, he would never get a girlfriend.
"Like you know how to get a boyfriend," said Simp.
I turned away from her and looked out the window. I didn't care for a boyfriend, but I did know how to get laid.